Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. I would invite you to grab your Bibles with me, whether it's the book of the Bible you have with you or maybe the app on your phone, or you can pull it up on the internet this morning. We're going to go to a place that, if you've been around Westview this year so far, it's a familiar place to us. We've been here each week. It is the book of Matthew, which is found in the New Testament, first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to be looking this morning at verse 13. So I'd invite you to find that passage this morning, Matthew chapter 6. And we're looking at verse 13. And I say that it's a familiar place to us here at Westview because we have spent really all of 2021. That includes all of January and now this first week of February. We've been here in Matthew 6, and we've been looking at these words that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, what we call the Lord's Prayer. And we've been looking at these words, and we've been looking week by week, we've been looking line by line, kind of petition by petition, and we've been asking ourselves, okay, what is Jesus asking us to pray here? What's he teaching us to pray? And really, what are we saying when we say these words? What's more than just a few words that we roll off our tongue? What's the depth? What's the impact that these words are having? And so we've tried to take a deep dive into this Lord's Prayer. This week, we're going to look at the final petition. And so we're going to conclude our sermon series this morning. And I pray that this series has been a blessing to you, a blessing to your faith, a blessing in your prayer life, a blessing in your relationship with God, that these words have become more than just words that we repeat on kind of autopilot when we pray them together, but that we have a better understanding of the profound depth that these words have when we pray them. So we've got one more week. We've got today. We're looking at this last petition. I'd invite us to pray together, ask God's blessing over this time, and then we'll read this passage together. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we are grateful for the opportunity to read and to study your word. And Lord, we pray this morning that as we take a few moments now to think well about this part of the Lord's Prayer, that you would open our hearts and open our minds, that we might learn and receive everything you would have for us today. So give us the words to say, and give us ears to hear. Give us hearts that are open and receptive, and lives that are ready to live in the truth of your way. We pray this all in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. So our scripture passage this morning is Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. And I'd like to invite you to read these words with me. I think they should show up on the screen. There they are. So if you would, let's read these words together this morning. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. Thank you. So I have a little bit of a concern this morning. And my concern revolves around the word temptation. Unless we are fans of the old singing group, The Temptations. Does anybody remember them? They're even before my time, I have to admit. But unless we're fans of the group Temptation, the word temptation really often carries a negative connotation with it. Because when we think about the word temptation means to entice towards sin or to lure us towards disobedience or to seduce us to stumble. Like someone or something is trying to make us fail. That's temptation. And my concern is this, that when we say this piece of the Lord's Prayer, that we believe we are asking God not to tempt us. As in, God, don't tempt me to sin. My concern is such because that is not what Jesus is teaching in these words. I understand what it looks like in the English. I understand how it reads. I can understand that that is an easy interpretation that we can make, but that is not the meaning of those words. And even more importantly, that's not the kind of God that we have. God does not tempt us. God does not willfully entice us to sin or lure us to move outside of the bounds of his will. God does not purposefully place circumstances or situations in our lives whose sole function is to cause us to sin. That goes against God's holy, perfect, pure nature. God does not tempt us. Now, test us, that's a little different. There is such an important difference between tempting and testing. Testing, or as it's frequently referred to in Scripture as a trial, these are situations in our lives that happen to all of us. They are difficult circumstances that we all go through, situations that God allows to happen. And when testing happens in our lives, when we face trials of all different kinds, there's two ways that we can respond. On one hand, in a trial or in a test, we can react negatively. That in that trial or in that test, we might succumb to the temptation to sin. That when we're pressed, we maybe lash out in anger. Or when we're stressed, we might make choices that go against God's will for our life. And friends, that is a very natural response. Friends, trust me, there is no shame coming from the stage this morning if that is how we have responded to testing in the past. Because I've been there right there with you. Times of trial, times of testing, and not reacting in a way that's been positive. That's really exhibit A, why Jesus teaches us to pray these words. Because when we're tried, when we're tested, when we're going through trials, we then can pray, God, in the midst of this test, do not let me be tempted to sin. God, when I'm being tested, when I'm going through this trial, do not allow me to be tempted to sin. Do not allow me to be seduced. Do not allow me to be enticed to respond in a way that is not in the way of my Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why these words are so important. And so when we are tested, when we are facing trials, one way that we can respond is we sometimes respond negatively. And we succumb to the temptation then to sin. But the other way that we can respond is that these trials, these moments of testing, can be moments of faith formation, of character building, of soul strengthening. That trials in our life can actually become the seeds of spiritual growth, of discipleship development, of maturing in our trust with God. James writes this in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. You can follow along on the screen. It says this. James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I'm not so sure I'm ready to go with James all the way and consider trials pure joy. That would not be the first word I would just use to describe them. But I certainly don't always like them. I certainly don't always appreciate testing and trials that happen in my life. But I do understand what James is saying here, that these trials, they have a purpose. They are opportunities for our faith to grow and to mature. And so despite how much we might loathe testing and trials, we might consider embracing them. For how is God using this to mature my faith? Now, are these tests, are they easy? No. Do we wish them upon ourselves or our loved ones? Not at all. Do I personally enjoy times of testing? Not at all. Do I wish I could protect all of you from these trials that we face? Absolutely. But I don't have that kind of pull. And neither do you. Times of testing and trials, they happen. They have happened. They will happen. God allows testing to take place so that, and they can either be faith formation moments, or in them we can succumb to the temptation to sin. That's why this part of the Lord's Prayer is so important. That we say, God, in the midst of the trials, in the midst of the testing that is going to happen in my life, do not let me be led to sin. Temptation and testing. Are we starting to feel the difference a little bit? We make this, that makes sense? Now, I know that feels really heavy, right? The sermon just gets heavy right at the beginning here, right? We're talking about temptation and trials and testing, but it's so important for us to understand the difference between temptation and testing, because that radically changes then how we read and how we pray this part of the Lord's Prayer. I really want us to get this morning. So let me use an illustration, and we're going to lighten things up just a little bit, okay? So here's the illustration. Some of you have a superpower of which I am incredibly envious. Some of you can look at a whole plate of cookies and you can take just one cookie and be satisfied. How do you do that? Because I have learned in my life that if it's in the house, if it's on the counter, it's gone soon. If it's in the freezer, it ain't there long. I can't help myself. I just can't stop with one, right? Wasn't there like a, there's a chip commercial, right? Can't just have one Pringles or something like that. Can't just have one. Some of you can do that. And so I've learned in my life many years ago that I just can't have it in the house. If I'm trying to be good, if I'm trying to be healthy, if I'm trying to eat right, no sugar, no sweets, I cannot have it in the house. Otherwise, it is not anymore on the counter. It's in my belly. And so here's the illustration. Let's imagine that I'm in one of these times that I have to have where I'm saying, no sweets, no sweets. Maybe it's I'm training for a race, or maybe it's for this month of February, I'm going to have no sweets, okay? So I'm having a no sweets time, because I've done this many times in my life. Not enough, apparently, but I've done it plenty of times. And let's imagine I'm having a no sweets time, and Heather knows about these times, because I say, don't buy anything, don't bring anything home from the store, because I'm trying to do no sweets. Now she knows I'm doing no sweets, but then my dear wife goes to the store, and she purchases my favorite kind of ice cream, which right now is this ice cream from Kemp's called Twisted Dough. Cookie dough, brownie batter, mixed together. Divine. It is so good. This is my favorite. Now, Heather knows that I am not eating sweets, but she goes to the store, she buys this, the kids go to bed, and then she proceeds to scoop a big bowl of Twisted Dough ice cream. And she says, you want some? And I say, nope. And she says, are you sure? And I say, yep. And then she takes her spoon and takes a big bite and says, this is so good, that cookie dough pieces and the chocolate sugary ribbon and the brownie pieces. Are you sure you don't want some? And I say, no, I'm good. And then she says, are you sure? And she waves the bowl in front of my nose, in front of my face. Are you sure? Just have a little bit of ice cream with me. Now, let me ask you, is this a Heather tempting me, or is this a test? Help me out. She's tempting me, right? Because she's trying to entice me to do something outside of the bounds that I said I did not want to do. God does not tempt us. God does not wave a bowl of Twisted Dough ice cream underneath our nose and says, come on, just have a little bit, do this. She's tempting me. Now let's imagine that I'm in a season where I'm not eating sweets, and my dear friend Angie Duser comes to my house, rings the doorbell, and she says, Pastor Josh, I'm so thankful for you. I just made this Texas almond sheet cake for you. Melt in your mouth. I'm salivating now just thinking about this. I've had this many times. It is so good. Now, Angie has no idea that I'm not eating sweets. But here she is, says, I want to make this for you. Just want to show my appreciation for you. Here's the gift from me to you. okay. Now let's imagine the next day, my dear mother-in-law comes over, Amy. And Amy is carrying two plates of her world-famous cutout cookies. Now, apologies to Angie, who makes some really great cutout cookies. These cutout cookies are the absolute best. At Christmas time, I guarantee I gained 10 pounds at least alone just eating these kinds of cookies. And my mother-in-law says, we just, you know, Josh, you are such a wonderful son-in-law. You are such a great husband to our daughter, Heather. You're a fantastic dad to our grandkids. And so we just want to show you, say that we appreciate you, that we love you so much. So here's some cookies for you. Okay. Now let's imagine the next day the doorbell rings. And young Alex Johnson is standing at the door. And he's holding hot cocoa cake roll, which he knows that I love. And he says, Pastor Josh, we're so thankful that you're our pastor. And so I just wanted to give this gift to you. Now, if you know anything about Alex and his family, they know how to cook and they know how to bake. This is fantastic. So now I have on my counter Texas almond sheet cake, cutout cookies, and hot cocoa cake roll. And I'm not supposed to be eating sweets. Is this a test, or are they tempting me? Remember, a temptation is you're trying to seduce someone outside of the bounds they've set for themselves. A test is a difficult situation that someone finds themselves in. Am I being tested, or is this a tempt? Help me out. This is a test. Yeah, they have no idea. This is a very difficult test. This is a test in which I very much am tempted to go outside of the bounds that I've set for myself, but this is a test. They had no idea. It's just a difficult situation now I find myself in. And it's a situation where I need to say, Lord, lead me not into temptation. Tempting and test. All right, before we go on, I just need to name, friends, I'm not taking this home, okay? So you guys need to come and grab this after worship this morning. Children, don't look at your parents right now. Look at Pastor Josh. He is telling you it is okay to come and get some of these sweets, okay? Take this home. Just make sure the Johnsons get their Tupperware thing back, okay? All yours, all right? Tempting versus testing. It's so important for us to get down. Now, we think about, we say this Lord's Prayer. You know, Lord, lead us not into temptation. We're saying God does not tempt us, but God does allow times of testing to take place. We understand those times of testing. We understand those trials. In fact, we're very familiar with them. And people in Scripture, we're familiar with them as well. We see all sorts of examples of trials and testing in Scripture. Sometimes they happen to saints that we revere. Sometimes it happens to people who are obscure. But they happen all over Scripture from beginning to end. We find it with Abraham. And probably one of the most famous moments of faith formation, where Abraham was tested, where he was asked to sacrifice his one and only son, Isaac, that he had gone nearly a century of his life without a child with his wife, Sarah. And he was asked to sacrifice his son. This is a test, friends, I trust, the likes of which none of us would ever have to face, but this was Abraham's test. There's Job. He was tested. Job is described as an upright man, a man who feared God, blameless, shunned evil. He was blessed with a large family. He had lots of livestock. He had an army of servants who oversaw his operation. In fact, Job is described at the beginning of the first chapter as the greatest man in the East. But it was all taken away. It was all gone. Livestock, servants, all his sons and daughters. He was tested. Joseph was tested. He was the favorite child of his father Jacob, but he was despised by his brothers. They wanted him dead, but they settled on just selling him as a slave to the Midianites, who then sold him as a slave to the Egyptians. He's later falsely accused by his owner's wife of making advances, thrown into jail where he is forgotten for 2 years. Naomi was tested. Naomi and her husband and her two sons, they leave the land of Bethlehem in Israel because there was a famine in the land. They moved to Moab, living as foreigners in Moab. Naomi's husband dies. Later, her two sons die. And she's left without any financial provision. She's left without any protection. All she's left with is a stubborn daughter-in-law named Ruth. And when Naomi returns back to Bethlehem, she says, "Don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara for the affliction and the bitterness of my life." David was tested. After an inspiring victory over the giant Goliath, he earns the contempt and the hatred of King Saul. David flees for his life. He's dodging spears and the hatred of Saul. And actually, it's the first time. Another time he flees for his life later when he himself is king and he's fleeing Jerusalem because his son Absalom has led a coup. Jeremiah knows testing. Jeremiah's testing is he's known as the weeping prophet because his tears are many for his people. Spiritual anguish is his story. His heart is broken over and over again as he calls his fellow people to repent, and they reject him again and again. And finally, with his own eyes, he sees his people carried off as slaves into Babylon. Peter knows testing. Peter, we hear his trials and the sobbing and the intense weeping that he has after he denies his Lord three times. Just hours earlier, he had said, "Jesus, I will never leave you." Paul knows testing. Paul has what he calls a thorn in the flesh, the likes of which we really don't exactly know what he's referring to. But we do know that not once, not twice, but three times he prayed, "God, take this thorn of the flesh away from me." And each time, God's answer was no. Friends, throughout Scripture, we find that God allows testing to take place in the lives of his people. And you and I know so well that those moments and those seasons of trials, they continue today. We might resonate with some of the examples we just heard from Scripture, or we might be familiar with our own trials. That diagnosis of cancer, the loss of the job, the addiction, the accident, the betrayal, the divorce, the relocation of a job, or the hurtful words of family and friends, the disobedience of a child, the breakup, the uncertainty of the future, the miscarriage, the backstabbing, the lack of clarity, the last 11 months of a worldwide pandemic, the loneliness, or those moments, those seasons where it feels like everything we touch just falls apart. We know testing, and it comes. We know trials of all different kinds. Friends, let me give us permission to say this morning, when those seasons come, when those trials and those testing come, it is okay for us to say, "This is hard. This is difficult. We're stressed. We're lost. There's hurt. There's fatigue. There's anger." And friends, we can name this morning, in those moments of testing, in those moments of trial, we might be tempted to sin. We might be tempted to lash out or to give up or to say, "Forget it," to seek revenge, to let our anger fester. And friends, that is such a scary road to go down. We might even say, friends, that is a sinful road to go down. There's that temptation to sin. And that's why Jesus' words this morning are so incredibly important for us. He's teaching us to pray that in those times of trial, in those times of testing, we say, "Lord, lead us not into temptation." That when we're facing trials of all kinds, we say, "God, by your power, by your grace, lead me away from the temptation to sin so that I may better walk with you, that I may walk in your will, that I may walk in your way, that I, even in the trial, that I might live my life in such a way that brings honor and glory to your name." And we say, "Lord, let me walk in the victory that is ours through Jesus Christ." See, friends, that's the other piece of this Lord's Prayer petition that we haven't even looked at yet. It's the often forgotten piece. I mean, we've spent all our time so far on that first piece, but there's a second piece there. And that second piece is not just asking for assistance. It's not just to stay out of trouble. That second part of this petition is a bold proclamation of victory. Victory in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen to it again. Say, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Deliver us from the evil one. Friends, the bedrock of our hope, the foundation of our faith is that in the name and in the person and in the work of Jesus Christ, we are delivered out of sin and darkness. We are delivered out of the clutches of the evil one who only wishes us harm. We are delivered out of death, and we are given new and abundant and eternal life. And friends, this is good news. That is not something that is just for the future. This is already a reality for us. Jesus came, past tense. Jesus lived, past tense. Jesus died, past tense. And Jesus rose again, past tense. And that resurrection of Jesus, in that he defeated the dominion of the devil and he destroyed the hole that the devil tries to put on us. It is the devil who tempts us towards sin. It's the devil who wants to lure us outside of the will and the way of God. But friends, when we pray this part of the prayer, when we say, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, we're not just asking, but we are declaring, God, you have delivered us from the evil one. And we are asserting the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And we are claiming the power that we have from the Holy Spirit. Friends, when we face trials and we face testing of any kinds, we can claim the victory that has already been won on our behalf by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so these words today, these words are indeed a request, and they're a bold declaration. They are a petition, and they are a promise. And so, friends, I urge us this morning never to forget that whatever the world and whatever the evil one wants to throw at us, whatever trial, whatever testing that is taking place in this life, we do not face these trials, we do not face this testing uncertain of the ultimate outcome. Jesus has secured the way. He is the truth, and he is the life. And by his leading, by his name, we can pray these words with confidence, and we can pray them with assurance. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. Pray with me, please. Almighty God, we claim today the great deliverance that you have given to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We name that he has freed us from the bondage of sin. He has destroyed the tyranny of the devil. He has broken the chains of death and has made it possible to have the gift of everlasting life. This is our hope. This is our joy. This is our peace. We find rest in Jesus Christ today. That though the times of testing and trial will always appear, we can walk through them with the assurance that our salvation is secure, that our good is your desire, and that our ultimate outcome is held fast in your loving embrace. God, it's in this assurance that we have confidence to approach your throne of grace with boldness today. To pray on behalf of ourselves and for one another and for this world that you so love. And so today we pray for healing and protection from illnesses of all kinds. We pray for comfort when the sucker punches of life are thrown our way. We pray for peace in a future that is foggy and oftentimes scary. We pray for compassion with our neighbor who has different views than us or looks different than us or believes different than us. We pray for extra empathy and extra grace when we only know just a little bit of the journey of another. We pray for your kingdom to come in its fullness so that all things would be made new and there would be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. We pray all of this, Lord, and so much more today, asking that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, today we not only thank you for the salvation that is found in Jesus' name, but we are so grateful today for his words and his teaching and his example. We thank you for the words that we've been able to study in full over the last several weeks. We pray that they would indeed be imprinted upon our hearts, not so that we can just say them mindlessly at a moment's notice, but that these words would shape and form and mold us by the incredible depth that they convey. And so today we want to offer them again. Westview, I want to invite you not just to say these words routinely, or to say them the same old way, but I invite you to say them this morning as we pray together with the passion that they inspire, with the power that they possess, with the hope that they give to us. And so Westview, as we pray, the words will appear on the screen if you want to read them together. But let's say these words together. And friends, I invite you to say them with conviction this morning. Let's pray the words Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.